All right, if you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. While you're finding that, remind you that we won't be having any services here Wednesday night on July the 4th. We also had a little mini deacons meeting early this morning and decided we're not going to have service tonight either. Our air conditioner just can't keep up. We just can't get it cool in here. It will be last night at 8 o'clock. Some of you already know. I've already seen you fanning even this early. But even with the windows blacked out and we had the air conditioner checked and some Freon put in, the guy said it was perfect. It just wasn't designed for this. And so it was 80 degrees in here last night at 8 o'clock. So 6 o'clock, it'll be well into the 80s in here. You get these brick. This building, if you've never noticed, is in the sun from the morning till the evening. It just comes over and these bricks get hot and it just gets miserable in here, and the air conditioner just can't keep up. And so decided we'd just, with so many people gone on top of that, that we'd just cancel services this evening and cut the air conditioner off and let it rest. It's been running 24/7 since Tuesday, and so and it still hadn't gotten it all the way down. So it's some of y'all know that. If you don't know it, you'll know it at the end of the month when your power bill comes. And so remember that this evening. Genesis chapter 3. We've been looking at building blocks and questions things out of Genesis is what it's turned into. It wasn't originally, I don't know if I've explained all this, but it originally wasn't designed this way. Originally, building blocks was going to be one sermon. That was what originally I had thought, and then the more I studied, that turned into a series of two messages, and now it's turned into four or five. And it was never intended to be all out of the book of Genesis, but that's how it's ended up as well. Just as I studied and thought about the idea of building blocks. What do we build our faith on? What do we establish? What are some foundational truths that are just groundwork, fundamental to the faith? And the more I look, the more I realize, you know, the answers to a lot of those are found here in Genesis. I don't know how many of you have ever perhaps read the book or maybe saw the book in the bookstore. There's a book that was written several years ago that said, "Everything I really need to know I learned in kindergarten." Genesis is kind of that way. A lot of what we need to know, we learn with God's initial dealings with man. If God never changes, then what we learn about God in the beginning is the way that God is, and the way that God wishes to deal with us. And we've looked at what creation in general says to us. We've looked at what this story tells us about communication with God and prayer. We've talked about what it says about family. This week, I want to look at this section, the one that you really can't avoid when you look at this, and that is the story of the fall of man and God's interview that day as he came down and began to ask these questions. And, you know, questions are an interesting thing. You learn a lot by asking questions. I heard about a lady who was going down the road, and a policeman pulled her over for speeding, and he came up to the window and said, "Can I see your driver's license?" And she says, I don't have a driver's license. Y'all took it away from me for drunk driving." And he says, "Well, can I see your registration?" She says, "I don't have the registration of this car. This car's stolen." And the policeman, he says, "Well, why were you driving so fast, ma'am?" And she says, "Well, said, to tell you the truth, I was trying to get away from you. I got a body that I killed and cut up and put in the trunk." And, you know, by now the policeman stepped back and he's drew his gun. He's called for reinforcements. And you know, his captain gets there. And the captain gets the woman over to the side and says, "Ma'am, my officer tells me you don't have a driver's license. Is that true?" He says, "No, I got a driver's license." She reached in her pocketbook. She pulls out a driver's license and shows it to him. He's a little confused. He says, "Well, what about the registration of this car? Is this car stolen?" She says, "No, this car's not stolen. See, it's in a dash." And she pulls out the registration. He says, "Well, do you have a body in the trunk? My officer says you got a body in the trunk that you killed." "No, I never dream of such a thing." He says, "Well, do you mind if I look?" And she pops open the trunk and nothing's there. And he says, "Why in the world did he tell me all these things, ma'am?" She says, "I don't know. I bet you he even told you I was speeding." Yeah, you learn a lot by asking questions. Sometimes things you don't want to know. God comes to the garden that day and says, "Where are you? What's going on down here?" And from that we learn three things that I think are just critical pieces of truth that we need to know, that we need to set our relationship with God on, that we need to base our relationship with God on. Out of the story of the what is known as the original sin and God coming down, we learn several things. I think there's a great story here and a great message for those that have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. I also think there are some great truths to guide us if you do know Christ that can help you in your everyday walk with Christ. And so there's three things I want you to see this morning about this story that again I think are just critical. Those building blocks that we need to guide our life by, to govern our life by, to allow to be in the front part of our mind as we think. You remember something, you say, I'd let that slip my mind. That was kind of back in the back of my mind. These are some things that I feel like need to be up in the front of our mind. Foremost in our spiritual thinking as we consider three things out of this story. The sin that we see, the search, and then the solution. I want you to notice as we talk about the sin. What we have here, you know the story. One day Eve is walking along and the serpent, Satan, speaks to her and says, hey, why don't you come over here and try out this fruit? And you know the story. She goes on, they have a little debate, and eventually she goes over, picks a piece of the fruit, eats the fruit, takes it to Adam, and boom, we have original sin. We have the fall of man. Now, when I look at that story, curiously, and I've heard people bring this up and mention this, said, honestly, what's the big deal? It's a piece of fruit. I've heard that discussion. What's the big deal? It's a piece of fruit. She didn't kill anybody. She didn't steal anything. She didn't rob the First Bank of Eden. It was a piece of fruit. What is the big deal? And that's easy for us to do even today when we look around and we turn on the news and we pick up the paper and we see some of the just unspeakable, unimaginable things that man does. Sometimes I am amazed by some of the things that I see people do to each other, that I see some of the crimes that are committed. I'm like, wow, how'd they ever think of that one? And one end, you look at it and you say, wow, in the grand scheme of things, robbing a bank, murdering a bunch of people, some of the other things that go on, eating a piece of fruit. It's easy for us to look and say, that's a lot of difference, and that's kind of the way we're wired. We kind of look at a lot of things that way. We look around and, if you think about it, we look at a lot of things that way. Well, I know I'm overweight, but I'm not as overweight as Archie. Hey, that's how we tend to do things. We kind of scale things. I know I'm not rich, but I'm certainly not as rich as Archie. Certainly not as rich as Archie. Archie wastes more money than I got. That's the way we tend to do things. We'll bring home as kids, we'll bring home a report card and it'll have C's on it. And we'll say, but Mama, Johnny got D's. That's kind of the way we do things. We just kind of scale things. Well, it's not as bad as him. I know things are bad here, but they're worse over there. I know I need to lose weight, but not as bad as he does. I know I need to start exercising, but not as much as he does. I know I need to do this. I'm not doing the best I could in school, but I'm not as bad. You know how we do that? We do that in almost every area of life. I know I got a bad haircut. Wow, it's not as bad as he is. Those guys, we just tend to scale things and measure things and compare things. And, it's not as bad as he is. It's not as good as theirs. And, we just kind of do that in life in general. And we do the same thing with sin. We have done it for years. I know I haven't done it. You look in the Bible. Pharisee in the Bible does what? Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. We do that even with sin. I know I tell a lie every now and then, but man, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. We even do things like this. You hear that phrase, you ever anybody talk about little white lies? Have you ever noticed that? I've noticed this about little white lies. Little white lies are like minor surgery. Had a doctor one time tell me about minor surgery. You know what he said? He said the only minor surgery is what they do to somebody else. Right? Or somebody not related to you, maybe. You know, same thing about little white lies. Little white lies are funny. You tell little white lies, but no one has ever told you a little white lie. If they tell it to you, it's a big whopper. You know, that's the way it works. You know, somebody else told a little white lie. You know, I told, but when they tell it to you, it's a big, hideous, ugly lie. You know, and we tend to measure and scale things. And so when we look at this story, there's something I think we need to get across here that we need to understand about original sin. What sin is in this story. When we look at this, here's something that is true of every sin that has been committed. When you look at that, and let's be honest. I got to be honest with you. When I look at this and I think, I'm like you probably, like many of you. I say, piece of fruit. You know, really? You know, is that major a problem? You know, it wasn't like she went and, you know, chopped the head off of one of the animals in the garden or kicked Adam into shins or anything. It's a piece of fruit. Right? But here's what distinguishes, here's what sets it apart, and here's the important lesson we learn. Even though it's only a piece of fruit, it is a piece of fruit that God told her not to eat. That's what distinguishes this piece of fruit. It doesn't matter. It's not a matter of the magnitude of the sin. You know, we tend to categorize sins. We, you know, murder's up here, and, you know, stealing, and, you know, and lying, and, you know, then gossip comes way down here. We tend to categorize sin. This one's worse than this one, and this one's not as bad. Well, here's the reality we learn. Here's the building block we learn about sin out of Genesis, out of this original story, out of God's dealing with man at the very first sin, is it's not a matter of how big we might think it is. It's not a matter of how little it is. It's a matter of disobedience. That's sin. That's what it boils down to. It doesn't matter whether you might think it's big or not, whether you think it's small or not. It's a matter of disobedience. It's a matter of not doing what the Father has directed you to do. Well, you may be sitting here this morning. You may be one of those who sit and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good fellow. I'm a pretty good person. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I hear the preacher talking about being saved. I've heard that. But you know, I'm not as bad as some of those hypocrites down there. You're not being measured against the hypocrites down there. You're not being measured against me or anyone else. You're being measured against one standard, and that is, are you obedient to God? And I want to point out to you that it only took one sin, it only took one case of disobedience for them to be labeled as disobedient. It only took one act of disobedience for them to be kicked out of the garden. It only takes one. You may be a fairly good person, but if you look back and you can say at any point in time, I've ever lied, I've ever coveted, I've ever had an evil thought, then guess what? You are disobedient. That's what it boils down to. That's what we learn about sin out of this story. It's not a matter of the act, it's a matter of the attitude. See, here's what had to happen. When I look at this story, Eve had to stand and look at that tree, and she had to, in her mind, say, you know what? I know God said, don't eat of that tree. But you know what? In this case, I don't care. I don't care. Now, I realize there's probably not a person in this room that has ever sat and said, you know, I know God said, don't lie, but I'm going to lie anyway. I know God said, don't steal, but I'm going to steal anyway. But that's the process that has to happen. It may have happened in a split second, but we have in our heart our conscience that guides us, the will of God, the Spirit of God convicting us, and we have to say, you know what? I am going to be disobedient. It doesn't necessarily mean murder or any of these other things. It is disobedience. If God says for me to take this little laser pointer and shine a red light on the wall, and I don't shine that red light on the wall, you know what I am? I'm disobedient. It's not a matter of how big you may think it is or how important you may think it is. It's a matter of being obedient to God. Remember this, that the word sin, what it means is, it's an archery term that means missing the mark. It means you shoot an arrow, and there's a bullseye there, and it doesn't matter if your arrow hits a quarter of an inch away from the bullseye, or it lands over in the next zip code. If you miss, you miss. And sin is disobedience in any form or fashion. I told y'all a few weeks ago, we have, kind of this little ongoing struggle at my house. And it's been worse this week because of the heat. Close the door. The other one that's been going on, how old am I? How long have I been married? How long have I had kids? That long. Cut off the light. But I'm coming back. Cut on the light. When you leave again, cut off the light. We're not doing a light bulb test. We don't have stock in Duke Power. Cut off the light. Close the door. And I don't remember which one of them was. I can say it wasn't David because he's moved out. So it had to be, and it wasn't Tinsy because she's too little. So it had to be one to two middle ones. And I think it was Caleb. Said to me the other day something of the effect of, do you really think it matters what difference it makes? It matters because I said close the door. There you did it now. It's changed, hasn't it, bud? Oh, yeah. Yeah, see there? Used to mama said, well, why mama said? Now daddy says it matters, doesn't it? Hey, that's all that matters. And if God says, don't eat of the fruit, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is. It doesn't matter what the serpent says. God said. And it's disobedience and it's sin. And we have to get that through our hard heads that when God, and understand this, it's not just thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. I've shared with you before, very important that you understand this. There are two types of the will of God. There is what we label as the general will of God. And that is the will of God that applies to all believers in all times throughout history. Do not lie, do not steal, do not kill. That is the general will of God. It applies to Archie, it applies to me, it applied to Archie's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, it'll apply to his great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. That is God's general will. It is always the case. There's also what we call the specific will of God. And that's what God has planned for your life. The specific will that He has for your life. For example, I've said before, and I believe this with all my heart, that I get upset. We often talk about God calling preachers and missionaries. That's generally what we talk about. And I do believe God calls preachers and missionaries. And if God doesn't call you to preach, don't preach. And if He doesn't call you to be a missionary, don't missionary. But I believe God calls ditch diggers, and I believe God calls construction workers, and I believe God calls housewives, and I believe God calls shoe salesmen, and I believe God calls truck drivers, and I believe God calls doctors and nurses and school teachers. I believe God has a plan for your life. A specific plan for your life. And I believe if you don't follow that specific will for God's life, for your life from God, guess what? That's disobedience. See, it's just like probably many of you who grew up with more than one brother or sister. You may have had some chores in your house. And you had your list of chores, and your brother or sister, they had their list of chores. Yours may have been to carry out the garbage, and theirs may have been to run the vacuum cleaner. Your job was to carry out the garbage. It did the vacuum, and whether it was done or not, is to carry out the garbage. Any of you ever had that debate with your children? They're supposed to carry out, one's supposed to carry out the garbage and one's supposed to vacuum the floors. And the one didn't carry out the garbage and you say, hey, why didn't you carry out the garbage? Well, she didn't vacuum the floor. That's not what I ask you. It's not your job to worry about whether or not she vacuumed the floor. It's your job to do your job. And God looks at you, and I want you to understand this morning, it's not enough just to say, well, I live by the Ten Commandments. Listen, you need to know what is the specific will of God. Are you doing what God tells you to do? You're standing in your front yard, and God says, hey, I want you to walk next door, and I want you to pray with your neighbor. I want you to go inside and get a can of soup and take them a can of soup. If you don't take them a can of soup, you have just disobeyed God. That's what we learn from Eve, that disobedience in any form is sin. It's quite near. Either y'all hot and give out, or I'm in the middle of your business. Sin, is not just what we see in other people's lives. sin is in any way being disobedient to God. But here's what's really beautiful about this story. You don't just see the sin, but you also see the search. Look what happens. I've told you before, I know this about me. I know that if it was up to me, I would be the lightning bolt God. I've told you that. You know, as soon as Eve started that fruit towards her mouth, I'd have shot it right out of her hand. You know, I don't know. I thought about it. You know, after she had that bite of that fruit and handed it to Adam, I can see me as God taking the earth and just kickball right across the universe. You know, I just know that about me. You know, listen, y'all sitting there going, oh, I can't believe you said that. You'd have done the same thing. You know, I put you in that perfect world. I give you all that. And I tell you, you can eat anything you want to but that one tree, and that's the very thing you do. Pooyah, field goal. You know, hey, listen, hey, that's just, you know, that's how most of us react. Here's what's beautiful. I look at it, and I can see this happening. You know, God's sitting up there on His throne. He's seeing every bit of this happen. And He says, you know what, y'all watch this. And yeah, I believe He said, y'all watch this. You know, I can't help the King James didn't get it right. Y'all watch this. And He walked down to the garden, and He said, where are y'all? Yes, I believe He said, y'all. I'm telling you, you're going to be surprised when you get to heaven. You know, I'm telling you. God said, where are y'all? And I can just see Adam and Eve, you know, in all their nakedness and all their glory, diving into the bushes, you know, peeking out from behind the leaves. You know, and I believe with all my heart God's got just the greatest sense of humor. You know, the God that created giraffes and rhinoceroses and you has to have a good sense of humor. You know, look around. Just look around. God's got a sense of humor. You know, look. You know, God's got a sense of humor. And I just see God trying to have to control. You know, control. You ever had your kid do something you wanted to fuss at him, but the, you know, it was kind of funny and you kind of had to gather yourself for a second? You know, I can picture God kind of trying to gather himself before he said, where are y'all? And they're trying to hide from God. The knowing all, seeing all God, and they're dove in behind the bushes. And they say, we're hiding because we're naked. God says, who told you you were naked? You know, as I hear that story, and I think about the implication that has for me and you today, that in spite of their sin, in spite of their disobedience, God came looking for them. There's an old song I you hear, haven't heard it much, you don't hear it much anymore, but there used to be an old song that I really enjoyed, and the line of the song was, He came to me. When I could not go to where He was, He came to me. You want something to set your life on? You want a block to sit on. You want a foundation to build on. You build your foundation. You build your spirituality. You build your relationship around this thought. That for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That God came looking for you. That He came searching for Adam and Eve. Yeah, listen, you and I know, some of you are sitting there and you say, I can't believe, I just don't think I'd have kicked earth across the universe. I don't think I'd have shot lightning bolts. You may not have, but I'm going to tell you something. I know most of you well enough to know you wouldn't have got up and went to earth, because here's what you'd have done. You'd have done the same thing you do to your husband. You'd have done the same thing you do to your wife. You'd do the same thing you do to your co-workers. You say, he comes to me, I'll forgive him. Tell me you hadn't said that. Try it. I don't believe it. When he asks for forgiveness, he comes to me, then I'll forgive him. I'm not speaking to him. What's wrong? Nothing. Don't tell me you don't do that. I've known you too long. Yeah, we do that. Yeah. God, if we would have been God, you may not have punted them across the universe. You may not have shot them with a lightning bolt, but you'd have sat up in heaven like this. Who? I don't know. I don't know if I'm talking to him or not. You'd have looked at caller ID and said, I'll make them call back. Tell them I'm not here. God looked down at His creation. He said, you know what? I'm going down there to find them. I'm going down there to bring them back to me. I'm going down there to restore their relationship with me. He goes down there and he finds them. He looks at them and he says, what's wrong? And they say, we found out we were naked. And he finds out the story. And then God does an amazing thing. He goes over and he finds an animal and he kills that animal, the first sacrifice. And he takes the skin and he makes some clothes and he has that very first living sacrifice. Because of their sin, death entered the garden. And from that point on, we see in the story, we see that the wheels began turning, that God came looking for them, and God began at that point establishing and building a way to restore their relationship. See, understand this. Build on. Hang on to this fact. God loves you so much. He says that while you were still a sinner, He loved you. When you had done nothing but hurt Him, He loved you. And in His search, because of their sin, He comes and He presents the solution. He says to Eve, there's going to be enmity, separation, warfare, battle between you and Him, your seed and His seed. There's always going to be a battle. But then as He speaks, He says, but here's what's going to happen. The day will come, Eve, when one of your seed, a descendant from you, will win this battle. You know who He was talking about, right? He was talking about Christ. He was talking about His only Son. He says, as I see this, the only long-term solution for the next 4,000 years, no telling how many dove and lamb and pigeon and other animals, how many were sacrificed in the temple for forgiveness of sins to try to cleanse the people. But every year they had to go back and they had to do that over and over and over. But the Bible tells us that in Jesus, for once and for all, the complete perfect sacrifice was offered and our sin was paid for and our relationship was restored, and He did that all Himself. Every bit of it. See, here's what we learn in this story. You know, and I told those that this is not the way I actually intended in heading in this message. This was not my intention, but it was just something that God has kind of put on me this morning. I want to speak this morning to those that you sit in and you say, you know what? I know I'm a Christian. I know I have accepted Christ as my Savior. Let me tell you something. Hold your head up. March through this world knowing that God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His only Son to die for you so that you could spend eternity with Him. You don't have to walk around, you know, everybody else may hate you. No one may understand you. No one may lie. All those other things we say. But here's what I want you to know, based on what I see from the very beginning, is that God loved you so much, He would not rest, He was not content until He had done something to restore you to Him. And that involved the sacrifice of His only Son. Here's what's amazing. When you really consider this story and understand that the Bible teaches us that God knows everything. There is nothing that God does not know. God knew when He stepped out and looked at this round ball of nothing and said, let there be light. When He said, let's divide the waters from the earth. When He said, let's put the stars and the moon and the sun in the sky. When He said, let's put the creeping things on the earth and the swimming things in the water. He could have stopped right there because He knew that when He took that handful of dirt and He molded and shaped it into man and He breathed life into it and He reached down and took a rib out of that man and created woman, He knew that those two creatures were going to cost His Son His life. And He didn't stop after creating day and night. He created man because He loves you. No one else may care. But here's what I want you to hear this morning. Based on what we learn about God from day one, He loves you. He loves you in spite of your flaws. He loves you in spite of your bumps. He loves you, warts and all. He loves you. Some of you here this morning, you say, you know what, I know I'm a Christian, but you need to come and you need to come to this altar this morning. You need to kneel and say, you know what, God, I just want to thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. I want to thank you for loving me when no one else did. I want to thank you for loving me and sending your son to die for me. You knew from the garden that your son was going to have to die, and you allowed it to happen, and it was all because of my sin. That's what put Jesus Christ on the cross, was your sin. You're a Christian, and I want to invite you this morning to come and just say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to let you know I love you. I thank you for loving me, for being there when no one else was. But more important, you're here today and you don't know Christ. You've never accepted Him as your Savior. You may be a teenager. You may be 80 years old. You may be anywhere in between. But you've never asked Jesus Christ to come and live in your heart. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. That He died on a cross to save you. That He shed His blood so that your sins could be forgiven. Now, you may not be what you call a big sinner. You may not be a murderer. You may not be on the top 10 most wanted people in America. But you've been disobedient. That's all it takes. You've disobeyed God. And you're a sinner. I tend over the years, I've kind of got one little speech I give to the Bible school kids. And it's really simple. I ask them, how many lies does it take to make a liar? It takes one. How many sins does it take to make a sinner? It just takes one. You may be really a good person, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, Jesus Christ died. You may not be a big sinner. You may have not committed what you might think of as big, bad, ugly sins. But you've been disobedient. And that's all it takes. You've had a bad attitude. That's all it takes. You say, what do you mean? Let me tell you what. You think about it. You tell your child to carry out the garbage, and they come ranting through the house, and snatch it out of the can, and stomp out across the house. Does that upset you? They may have carried out, but attitude, even the wrong attitude. Jesus said what? He said, as a man thinketh, so is he. He says, to lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. Paul says, I was going through the commandments and I was doing good, and I got down to that one that says, don't covet. And I realized I was guilty of every one of them. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You've been disobedient. You need to come and let us show you from God's Word how you can be saved and how you can know Him. I want to ask you to bow your heads for one moment as our musicians come. God's speaking to your heart this morning. You're a Christian, but you've been reminded this morning of the love of God. You just want to come and kneel and say, Lord, I want to thank you for loving me in spite of myself. In spite of my failures, my flaws, in spite of my attitudes, my actions, Lord, I thank you for loving me, for setting in action some 6,000 years ago a plan whereby I could be saved. I just want to thank you for that. You don't know Christ. You need to come. Let me show you this morning from the Word of God how you can know Him, how you can be a Christian. As we stand together, will you do what God leads you to do?
That my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come every and fear. Speak to my heart, oh speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking Thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. everything. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still seeking thy will, oh speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. It is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray.